The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 199. Andy, part four, Meeting Andy. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and you'll find all kinds of great Mayberry things you might want to pick up for yourself or some other Mayberry fan in your life. Right now there's a 2013 wall calendar, but anytime you drop by, you're going to find something you like. WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. And I want to thank you all for your support. And thank you to the Mayberry Band for our theme music. Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to have you with me. I'm Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting. And it's always a pleasure just to spend a little bit of time with all of you guys here in Mayberry. And you got a real treat tonight. We're lucky enough to have a special report from one of our listeners, Tim Bradshaw. He goes by Mr. McBeavy over at the I Mayberry community. So if you're ever over in the I Mayberry community, you'll run into him there. But he found a book, or bought a book, I should say, that's called My So-Called Career in Hollywood. And he's going to be sharing some excerpts from that book. And there's going to be links to, in the show notes, a way for you can buy it from Amazon. And if you do, any of your purchases will help out the podcast a little bit, because we got a affiliate link with Amazon. So if you buy something from them, it would help us out. But don't feel like you got to do that. I just think you might enjoy reading this book, because it's not just got clips in there about the Andy Griffith Show. He talks about Gilligan's Island, all kinds of other shows in that book. And so it looks like something I may end up purchasing myself. And Tim's going to have a section about that, talking about when Ellery Klass, that's who wrote the book, when he met Andy back when the Andy Griffith Show was still in production. Now, following that, we've got some really special music from Ernie Rowell. Ernie is from Alabama, but he now lives up in Nashville. And he wrote a song called I Want to Be Like Andy. And it is a treat. We'll be playing that probably on tonight's podcast and other podcasts in the future, because it is an awesome song. And I think it's a really fitting tribute to Andy Griffith himself. And of course, we'll have links in the show notes for that as well, and how you can purchase a copy of that. It's 99 cents for a copy if you'd like one to support Ernie. And want to thank him for allowing us to have it as part of the show. So let's get started right here off the bat with the voicemail I got, or basically actually a report, because it's about 8 minutes long, that I got from Tim Bradshaw, all about his reading this book that I just mentioned to you, My So-Called Career in Hollywood by Ernie Klass. So let's go ahead and get started with that. So let's take it away, Tim.
Hey, Alan. Tim Bradshaw here again from South Carolina, also known as Mr. McBeavy on the I Mayberry community. Alan, I just wanted to congratulate you for such a great job last week on the podcast. That issue of eBullet was one of the greatest ever. I just really enjoyed all of the personal stories written by those, and comments written by those that knew Andy and worked with him. And after reading the eBullet and watching the podcast and listening to it, it reminded me of a book I had read myself a few years ago called My So-Called Career in Hollywood. This was written by a young screenwriter named Ellery Klass, and it was about 1967. And in one chapter of his book, he talks about a visit to the old 40-acre backlot in Culver City, where he approached Andy Griffith one day in an attempt to give him a pitch for a story that could be used in the Andy Griffith Show. And he talks about the day that he went out there with his manager, a man named Ray Holloway. And just wanted to, if I could, just share this with you. And I thought it would just be so interesting. A little look into a day in the life of Andy Griffith, meeting a person he didn't know, just to show you what kind of a person he was. Ellery writes, "We walked up the street to the courthouse, side by side, not saying a word, and stopped behind the crew, watching as they filmed a scene with Andy and little Ron Howard in front of the courthouse. After about 15 minutes, he heard, 'Howdy, boys.' I looked up and saw Andy Griffith waving as he walked over, all smiles, saying, 'Welcome to Mayberry.'" And then in this next little part here, just I would like for everybody to listen to this closely, because this really, I think, describes Andy Griffith the way we know him, the way we think he was, and I think the way he really was, because this was a time when he was busy working on a set, and he could have probably been pretty nasty to be interrupted, but this is what happened. He said after Andy had welcomed him to Mayberry, he said his manager Ray threw on a salesman smile and greeted Andy. Then he introduced me as his star client, a brilliant young writer with a head full of great ideas. And Andy shook my hand eagerly and looked at me dead in the eyes. In an instant, I could see clear into his soul. He was a genuine article, bereft of ego and attitude. He was completely unaffected, honest, pure, a man of his word, in short, someone who had no business being in the business. And I think Ellery knew what he was talking about, because being a young screenwriter in Hollywood, I'm sure that he had had more than his share of rejection, and trying to make his living as a writer, probably time after time trying to approach people to pitch his scripts, probably ran into some pretty harsh experiences. But that didn't happen when he met Andy. He said after he was introduced to Andy, Andy said, "Let's go for a walk, young man." And he threw his arm around my shoulder and leading me off away from Ray and the film crew. Said they strolled past the Mayberry Church and up the small street lined with houses. Just the two of them, side by side. A desperate fledgling and an American icon. And he just made the point that as they walked, he was addressing Andy as Mr. Griffith. Well, Andy said, "Just call me Andy." That just sounds like Andy, the Andy Griffith we know. And he said, after they walked for a while, he said there was a little bit of silence. He said they kept walking slowly past the Andy Taylor home on the left. It looked much smaller in person, said Ellery. As minutes went by, finally Andy spoke, "Well, can I hear it?" And then Ellery had his chance to give his pitch. He briefly went over a script from memory to give him a pitch for a storyline, hopefully to be used in the Andy Griffith Show. And as they finished hearing the pitch, they were walking on further up the street. Andy all of a sudden says, "You recognize that house over yonder?" And Ellery said, well, he didn't really, because it just looked like another fake house. Well, Andy said, "Why, that's Aunt Pittypat's house from Gone with the Wind. Remember that when Scarlett came rushing over with Rhett in the buggy?" He said, "That's the house." Of course, Ellery had no idea what he was talking about, because he had said earlier in the story that when they were replaying Gone with the Wind, he had gone to see Planet of the Apes. So Ellery had never seen Gone with the Wind, so he really couldn't relate to it. But I think what I'm seeing here is Andy was affectionate to the old 40-acre backlot, and he was very appreciative of the history of the backlot and the fact that Gone with the Wind and so many other great movies were filmed there. And he said then finally they started turning around and walking back down the street. And Andy said, "You know, up until a few years ago, Tara was still here too, right over there. And he pointed toward the Hogan's Heroes compound. Actually, that was the place where Hogan's Heroes was filmed, was occupying the spot where the Tara had once set when they filmed the movie Gone with the Wind. And he says, wow. He said, I gushed wondering what in the H Tara was. We walked a little further and finally asked, Andy, what about my story? Did you like it? Andy said, oh yeah, that. And he said faintly, as if he was remembering something he had heard years ago, son, that's going to make one fine episode. Now, I don't know for sure if that episode aired entirely the way it was written, but I believe that there was a variation of that script finally produced when Andy sent Opie to summer camp that year. And I think most of you that have seen the show know which episode I'm talking about. But I just thought this was such a neat little anecdote of just a day in Andy's life and just what a real situation that was and how this young writer was accepted and not rejected by a man called Andy Griffith. And it just goes to show that Andy, I think, was displaying the Andy Griffith that we knew, the person that we thought we knew, and possibly the person he really was. But anyway, just wanted to share that with you and hope you enjoyed it. And again, the name of this book was called My So-Called Career in Hollywood. And I bought this book just for that chapter. So, but anyway, not trying to push the book. I have no connections with it. It's just something I enjoyed and wanted to share. And again, Alan, keep up the good work. Keep the podcast coming, and we enjoy them so much. Thank you.
Wow, Tim. Hey, I want to thank you for taking time to record that and to share your thoughts and what you were just from reading the book. Definitely encouraged me to think, hey, I might want to see that. And it definitely showed us all a little bit about what Andy was really like. You know, he took this writer, showing him around the sets there on the 40 acres lot. And now, if you haven't ever seen those, if you head over to a website called, it's called retroweb.com. There's a section of 40 acres there. Now, if you go to the show notes for this episode of Two Chairs, No Waiting, it'll be episode number 199 of Two Chairs, No Waiting. You'll find a link to that, and I've linked to it before. Retro Web has all kinds of awesome stuff about the 40 acres site, and including an entire section about all the Andy Griffith Show stuff and photos and images that are just, you just won't find anywhere else. You can see beautiful shots of the churches, the residents, and you can purchase those, by the way. I feel like I'm selling a lot of stuff today. I'm not meaning to do that. But they have all kinds of stuff over at the 40 Acres website. They got at the 40 Acres site on RetroWeb. They have stuff about Desi Lu, Gone with the Wind, everything. So I definitely encourage you to go over there and read some about there about what Ellery was talking about in the, from Tim sharing it with us. So I definitely want to encourage that. And you can go look at the pictures. They're awesome as well. But it really was nice to see how Andy treated him and Andy walked around with him. And I do wonder, was that the episode, when Andy had been off with the rich folks and, Barney, the Baked Alaska, that whole story? Was that when that was? So, anyway, hey, Tim, I really do want to thank you for taking time to do that. That means a lot that you enjoy the podcast enough that you want to be a part of it and contribute. And that really, really does mean a lot to me, and I want to thank you for it. Now, next, folks, we have got some great stuff here from a fella named Ernie Rowell, R-O-W-E-L-L. And he has recorded several years ago, he told me, and this is not something new, but he had recorded an album that he included a song on called I Want to Be Like Andy. Now, you can go to ErnieRowell.com, R-O-W-E-L, Rowell, and there's links there. If you click on music, you'll actually see this CD. You got to scroll down a little. The CD was called Favorites, And it's got the original song called I Want to Be Like Andy. Now, that's what we're fixing to hear, and we're going to kind of close out the show when we hear it in a few minutes. Not yet. But I definitely wanted to encourage you guys. He's also got a place where you can go, and the link will be in the show notes, and you can buy the song if you like it and support him for being a part of us. Let's see, I'm pulling it up here so I can see. It's 99 cents for an MP3, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. Before we hear from him, because I think I want to close out the show using him, I want to read a few more of the memorial notes that we got about Andy posted on the website, and I think you'll like some of these. This one says, thinking back, I first caught wind of the Andy Griffith Show somewhere in the late 1960s. It's been a part of my life since. The show, its characters, its positive wholesomeness, and wholesome values the storylines gave us, truly television at its finest. Andy Griffith has given me not only enjoyment, but also a sense of well-being and directions in life that helped me be grounded and keep me on the right track. To thank all of that from a half-hour television series. Thank you very much, Andy. Here's another one. Maybe now Andy Griffith will truly comprehend the overwhelmingly positive impact he had on millions of people. People love the Andy Griffith Show because it offered hope in an unsure and sometimes lonely world. Once a good friend asked me where I would like to go if I could pick a place in the whole world. I, of course, said Mayberry. May his family and friends take comfort with all the love and comfort he left behind. There's just so much in here. This person wrote, Cindy, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Your husband provided so much strength in my faith and morals growing up and still does today. My parents divorced when I was around Opie's age, and I chose to live with my father, who was not the Andy we know. Fortunately, God gave me a cousin who introduced me to the Andy Griffith Show. This was in the 1970s, and I saw how a father should raise his kids. My wife and I have been married for 26 years, and we have three daughters, and all three were out of town when they heard the news of Andy's passing. All three of my daughters were texting me to make sure I was all right. I cried like a baby. My wife and my daughters have great memories to cherish, skipping rocks at Myers Lake in California, spending a day in Mount Airy, and of course, a full set of memories from the DVDs and playing the trivia games. Quotes from the show are quoted numerous times each day in our family, but what a great Christian example he has provided for not only me and the four ladies in my life and family, but for everyone. What a truly decent man. And we'll read one more. I came from a severely broken home. I'd watch the Andy Griffith Show and wish many a night that I was Opie or one of the other kids on the show who had a good home. Andy was a perfect example of a father, a great example of how a man should be. Very stable-minded, upstanding man, and America cried the day he died. There will never be another like him. Friends, there are so many testimonies like that from fans of Andy on the imayberry.com website. If you go there, they're still there. They will be there, and you can still leave comments if you'd like to. But I just think, I think we've done, this is our fourth episode kind of just remembering Andy. And we'll continue to remember him because we're talking about the Andy Griffith Show. But hopefully, I feel like we've done a pretty good job just covering just what he has meant to everybody and what kind of person he was, as we heard today. And just all the memories that some of the fans and others had about Andy. So, folks, I hope you've enjoyed that. Now you got a special treat, and we're going to close out the show with it. This is Ernie Rowe singing I Want to Be Like Andy. And we'll see you guys next week. Give me a call at 888-684-8415 and leave a message. Tell me what you think. You can do like Tim and send a great long message there. It was awesome. Or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. You know the other ways, so I'm not going to go into them all. And folks, we'll see you guys next time. Enjoy the song.
wanna be like Andy, standing up when there's something wrong. I wanna be like Andy before the good old days are gone. Have a son just like Opie, and some friends who are a little dopey. That'll make my life just fine and dandy. I wanna be like Andy. I'm gonna help my neighbors out when they are in need. Wear a smile upon my face and plant good-natured seed. Go to church on Sundays, learn about the Lord's ways. Be the best that I can be, just like Andy was in Mayberry. I wanna be like Andy, standing up when there's something wrong. I wanna be like Andy before the good old days are gone. Have a son just like Opie, and some friends who are a little dopey. That'll make my life just fine and dandy. I wanna be like Andy. I'm gonna find me a lady friend, one who teaches school. Measure everything I do by the golden rule. Have someone to cook and clean, just like Andy's Aunt Bee. She'll keep me on my toes and make sure I look good everywhere I go. I wanna be like Andy, standing up when there's something wrong. I wanna be like Andy before the good old days are gone. Have a son just like Opie, and some friends who are a little dopey. That'll make my life just fine and dandy. I wanna be like Andy.
Take us back there, boy.